God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott. I've been talking with my friend, Robin Davis, about the subject of homeschooling, parents who teach their children at home. And this prayer that I've been reading for the last few days comes from Psalm 25. We need to be teachable. And if we can help our children to sort of come at life with an empty cup, I think their lives will be so much richer. And if we would just be willing as parents constantly to be praying this kind of prayer, show me your ways, teach me your paths, my hope is in you all day long, we'd be a lot happier, don't you think, Robin?
I certainly do.
Well, we're continuing with our talk about the way you do your homeschooling, and I think one of the most interesting questions I'd like to ask you is what a typical day looks like. And I want to know exactly what a typical day looks like. What time do you get up? How do you get your children out of bed, etc.?
A typical day at our homeschool doesn't look like school, oftentimes. And sometimes I wonder how it is that we get the good test results that we do, because it just doesn't look like school, and yet somehow the children are really learning. The day starts, very often we have the radio alarm set for 6:15 a.m. and we wake up to Gateway to Joy, but Jack and I usually get up ahead of the children and get dressed and have our own private time of reading the Bible and praying. And then we wake the children up, and they are supposed to, this is theoretically, get dressed and make their beds and clean up their rooms before they come down to breakfast. Then at the end of breakfast, we usually clear it off and have a time of usually gather on the piano and sing one hymn and read the Bible. Jack will read the Bible and we'll pray for various things. He has written out prayer cards to help the children learn to pray for more than just, you know, God bless mommy and daddy. So it might be a missionary or relative or neighbors, and have something written down to pray for those various concerns. So all that happens, and then at 8:30 we usually start the formal schooling. We're in a fortunate position in that Jack works so close to home that he doesn't have to spend an hour commuting, so he can spend that time with us. And so we have the benefit of having Daddy at home in the morning, which is such a help in our situation. So then the children usually start with, we try and put the more odious subjects first and get them over with. And in many cases, that's math. With the younger ones, they don't yet consider math odious. I hope they don't come to see it that way. But we usually do those sorts of subjects. And oftentimes, the older ones can work independently. I might just need to help them a little bit with the new material. And then I'll be working with the younger ones. So the goal is to try and have some of the children working on independent things while I work with some of the other children who need, you know, actual hands-on help from me. So we just sort of go through. I've tried all sorts of different systems, having lists that they cross out, and that works sort of. But it's hard to get everything done every day, so we don't do every subject every day. So we might the next day do, you know, double or make it up. Basically, we do mostly finish the school books by the end of the year, although many homeschool families don't.
Do you have a schoolroom?
We do have a schoolroom. It's our breezeway. We have a fairly small house, and we use every square inch of it. We have a breezeway that we have enclosed and made into a room. We have desks and keep our books and our school supplies, and we have a marker board and a bulletin board, all that sort of school-type things.
So are you in that room more or less all morning, or how does that work?
Well, we are in there sometimes, but the children often like working around the dining room table, and sometimes that room's kind of cold in the winter. It's hard to heat it, so they tend to go where it's warm. I try to spread them out a little bit. It doesn't work to have everybody right on top of each other. They get too easily distracted. Sometimes I'll have one child go down and work at the computer. They're working on typing. The oldest four are working on typing, and they might have to write something down there. So we can spread them out, and that helps. And music practice comes in there during the day. They'll do their piano practicing.
How many are taking piano lessons?
Well, the oldest, actually, three of us are taking piano. This is another little benefit of homeschooling. I saw that my children were taking these piano lessons, and because I wanted them to get further than I had gotten. So finally it occurred to me that maybe I could take up piano lessons at my advanced age. And so the piano teacher graciously agreed to take me on as a student, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. So three of us are taking piano lessons, and I'm working with two of the other children to help them.
So I still don't really get the picture of, say, the first hour of school. It varies from one day to the next, but is there any time when you're talking to all four of them at once?
Not usually that much. I would maybe deal with, our age spread is from 3 up to 15, and of the ones who are actually doing schooling, it's from 6 up to 15. So it's more, I might do 2 and 2, something like that.
And what is Elliot, the 3-year-old, doing while you're doing all this?
Well, he's playing. He's a pretty mellow child. He's a pretty good kid. He will play. Sometimes he'll go outside and play or play with a friend. He's not watching TV.
Is he in the schoolroom a lot of the time?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Getting a lot by osmosis, I guess.
He is. And also Hillary, the 6-year-old, she's really doing kindergarten, first grade, so her materials don't take long. So the two of them can go off and play.
About how long would Hillary spend in a day in our school?
Maybe about an hour and a half. Not very long.
And how long would the oldest spend?
Well, he would spend more, maybe from 8:30 to, he'd definitely be done by 3, and that might even include his paper route and piano practicing. So he's pretty much free after 3 to, you know, do whatever else he wants.
Now, we had such a delicious meal the other night, and I mentioned that, and you said we have a cooking class in our home school.
Well, on Fridays, we get together with another family. They have two boys, and one of the boys is Nathaniel's, one of his best friends. They come over Friday afternoon, and we have cooking oftentimes, and we try and make foods that they can then take home and actually eat in their families that night. The other mom, Joan, will teach the children music history. She's been starting with Gregorian chant and works in, she's up to Renaissance music.
Starting with what?
Gregorian chant from the Middle Ages. She's doing a history of music, a survey of music.
Not too many public school children would be singing Gregorian chant, I don't suppose.
Well, they're listening. They're not singing too much of it. And then at Easter time, we listened to the Messiah, and she talked about the biography of Handel and how it came to be written, and we listened to a number of the sections of that, and then heard part of it performed at Christ Church.
So they're all learning piano. Anybody learning anything else, any other instrument?
This is one area where they have taken part in the public schools, and that is in the instrumental program. Nathaniel started clarinet in 4th grade, and Elizabeth started flute. So they are continuing with that.
They go to the public school for this?
Elizabeth still is, and then at 9th grade, Nathaniel has stopped because it's a daily thing rather than a weekly thing, so the schedule didn't work out. But he's gotten good enough that he can play.
So how do you find practice time if you must only have one piano?
We have one piano, right? Well, there's plenty of time if the children can practice during the day, you see, so they're not all competing for that after-school time.
So it would be half an hour of practice or a whole
40,
hour?
40 minutes.
Four children, 40 minutes a day.
Well, the younger ones don't practice that much. They're still at a lower key sort of thing.
I see. So you're talking about Nathaniel and Elizabeth.
And Elizabeth and me.
And you?
I have to practice too.
I guess so. You said you try to make foods that they can eat. Well, I think it's a wonderful idea to teach foods which are edible. It was eminently edible the other night. We had a wonderful meat pie. When I told my daughter Valerie that I'd been to Robin's house for dinner, she wanted to know right away, what was the menu? So I told her about that gorgeous meat pie. It looked like a picture out of Better Homes and Gardens with a glaze on the crust. And we had string beans. We had the most delicious homemade bread you'd ever want. And you actually grind your own wheat. Is that right, Robin?
We do, in fact.
With a huge stone in the backyard?
No. It's a nice little electric machine. And Hillary wanted to make the bread, so she made it.
So she grinds it in one machine, and does she have another machine?
To knead it.
To knead it.
So really, I don't deserve a lot of credit. It's quite simple.
How many loaves can you make at a time?
Five.
I have a hopelessly ineffective mixer that I can't even make two loaves of bread. It's just an ordinary electric mixer, you know, which I very rarely use. But I thought, well, I'll see if I can mix bread in it, and I couldn't do two loaves. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, the bread was delicious. The beans were perfectly cooked. The pie was delicious. And for dessert, we had fresh strawberries with whipped cream and the most delicious molasses cookies. Was it Elizabeth that made those?
Susanna, our 10-year-old,
made those. And then before we left the table, she came in and presented me with the 3x5 card on which she had neatly written out the recipe. Well, I think you have every reason to be proud of your children, Robin, but I'm sure they're not perfect. They looked that way to me for that brief evening. Have we gotten through a typical day?
The children also, the older two, have a paper route, and they often have babysitting jobs. And one of the nice things about homeschooling is that they do have time available for money-earning type service jobs like babysitting.
Well, that's great. We'll pick up on that again. My guest today has been Robin Davis. Thanks for being with us, Robin.
You're welcome, Elizabeth.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.